Hey, welcome to episode 95 of 2P Starts Live. He's Tim.
And I can't remember your name again. It's been kind of a while.
It's been so long.
Oh, yeah, he's Ray.
Yes, I am Ray indeed. Welcome back, everyone. Sorry for the week off last week.
Ray had a nervous breakdown due to the stress of the comic, and he had to take some time off.
I had to get my life back in order. I will say it was pretty nice not having to do a comic last week.
Yeah?
Although, by the time I got back, I mean, I was back in time for you to show me the comic, and you're like, yeah, here's what I've got. And for a moment, I was almost like, I could almost just jump in here and finish it out right now, you know?
But I was like, you know what? It could be better, but sort of let Ray have his week off, and it is what it is. So, but we'll get into that.
Yes. First, we'd like to go to our topic of the week. Scribblenauts obviously just came out, which is obviously making a gigantic splash in the gaming world and is receiving rave reviews left and right. I had a chance to pick it up and thought I'd give you some of my thoughts. Tim, have you picked that game up yet?
I have not. You know, the DS is an interesting thing. I haven't really picked it up in a long time, and this was almost the game that made me pick it up finally. But I think I'm going to do a little combo Scribblenauts and Spirit Tracks back-to-back, so I think that 1-2 punch will get me back in the DSi gaming world.
Well, this is interesting because I'm kind of going through the same problem, which is like I bought Scribblenauts, and every time I play it, I enjoy it, but I just can't get myself to like pick up my DS to play it. Like,
yeah, I know.
Like, it's like for some reason I need something really compelling to maybe like, oh, I guess I'll just have to pick up my DS right now. You know?
Well, I think the biggest problem is, you know, you have an iPhone in each hand, and it makes it kind of hard to use the stylus, you know?
Like, I'd hold the stylus in my mouth, but it's kind of hard to hold the stylus and the cigarette at the same time, you know?
Oh, right, yes.
Right,
yeah.
While I'm driving. Yeah. So, yeah, it's been strange, because I'm like, honestly, I'm like, I'm enjoying Scribblenauts, but, like, am I not a gamer anymore? What's wrong with me? Like, I used to go through college just playing game after game, just 100%ing anything in sight, regardless of if it was even decent or not, you know? Like, I played through so much of Shadow the Hedgehog without fail, even though I hated it. And it's like, why can't I pick up a game I actually like and play through all of it, you know?
And here's this is what's so funny, is you're now, like, where I was when we met, almost.
Right, and that was back when you were still playing games all the time, you know?
Well, I was playing games a lot more. But the funny thing is, like, when we both got Mario Galaxy, and you're like, yeah, it took me an hour and a half to get all 120 stars. And I'm like, I've got three, and you're like, what's wrong with you, Tim? I'm like, now you understand, like, you kind of get it a little bit.
But see, that's the thing, is I'm thinking, like, well, I'm enjoying Scribblenauts, but do I just not enjoy it enough to become addicted like other games, you know? Like if a new Sonic Rush game came out, would I play that nonstop on a DS, you know? Like, probably, you know? Yeah. What if Mario Galaxy 2 came out? I'd be like, I'd probably play that all the friggin' time, you know? But so, like, I'm almost wondering, maybe there's just something about Scribblenauts that I'm just not enjoying enough about, and it just doesn't make me want to come back to it. Because everyone talks about how great it is, and I'm enjoying it, but I'm just not feeling that, like, ultimate, like, oh, this game's amazing. And I guess my main problem with Scribblenauts is that it's, it feels so disconnected. By nature, because the game has every single possible object in it, you can't have any objects interact with other objects with correct animations. You know, it's just kind of like, well, if they fight, they have their individual fighting animations. But even the fighting animations aren't individual, because it's like, okay, these legs are supposed to spin around a lot, and the gravity kind of makes it kick up and down a little bit. Like,
there's some compromise there because of the scope of the game.
Right, because
the
of the scope,
can't
everything
be there.
Seems like just a placeholder for an image, you know? So I just feel like I'm working with a whole bunch of images that all kind of behave the same way. I put like an iceberg in the water, you know? I'm like, oh, well, I'll use this to get across. Then like I step on it and like flips upside down and stuff. I'm like, hey, like, why does this have the gravity of a balloon? Like, why does everything...
And that makes sense, because in a normal game, when programmers are like, well, this is what can happen in this level. They can account for every possibility, and they can program the gravity and the, you know, the physics of every object, and when you interact with them, it works as you expect. But obviously, a little DS cartridge, what they've done on a DS cartridge is already amazing.
Yeah,
so to expect more is just, you know, that we're not there yet. But it is kind of sounding similar to the only criticism I've really heard of the game so far, which is it seems a little bit more like a glorified toy, a very fun toy.
Yeah.
But not necessarily like a complete game experience, necessarily. So
I just haven't been able to kind of grip into the game like I've been hoping I would.
Interesting.
The problem is with my iPhone, I mean, it's a gaming device as well, and I'm playing a lot of cool stuff on that. It's just more portable because it's always with me.
Yeah,
and
that is another issue.
Now it's like I kind of have to go out of my way to bring my DS places, whereas before it could take the place in my pocket that now the iPhone takes up, and I'm like, I don't have any room anymore. Two iPhones, yes.
Well, tell me this. What games are you playing on the iPhone? Because you don't really talk about that at all. And I mean, I have
really
like a zillion games. And
I think that's part of the problem is the iPhone has trained me to play games for a shorter period of time.
Yeah, like, it really has.
For some reason, it's like, well, I don't want to get too involved. You know, I just want to dip in a little bit. So I can play something like Mr. Ah, where can, like, it's just trying to land on platforms, you know, and the platforms get thinner and thinner, and you're just swinging to each platform, and then eventually I die, and I get a few high scores. I'm like, well, that was fun. I had fun with that. And I don't expect it to do anything else for me, you know?
So
to get something so opposite of that, it's almost like I don't know how to handle that anymore. Like, I haven't played a single-player game for such a long period of time for a while. Like, how do I handle this, you know? It's just a very strange feeling.
It is interesting because, on the one hand, I'll see a good game on the iPhone, like, on sale for 99 cents for a day. I'm like, I'm just going to buy this now because someday I'll play it, you know? And so I've got all these games I've never played, and then some I'll try, and I'm like, I'll come back to that eventually. And yet, the DS, it's like, $30 for one single game on a device that's no longer as portable as other options. It's a little different proposition than it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I'm hoping that when New Super Mario Bros. Wii comes out and Mario Galaxy 2, I'll still be a gamer at heart.
Yeah, we'll
see what happens. By the way, did you ever get all the stars in Mario Galaxy?
I was just about to say, I think I'm like in the 60s right now. I'm like at 60 something, but yeah, I haven't picked it up in a while. I keep meaning to, and that's the thing is like I'm like, oh, I really want to play. I really want to get them all, you know. And
I'm just so busy playing my iPhone right now.
Yeah, I just can't put it down. I need, you know, two hands. But I'll get there eventually.
Maybe it was just me, but when Apple had their latest press conference and they kind of talked about, you know, the iPod Touch games and whatnot, and they're like, hey, look, like, they actually specifically went out of their way to kind of bash on Nintendo and Sony for a moment.
Yeah.
And I felt somewhat legitimately, too. Like, it was rather strange to see such a thing, because I really was like, I never, if anyone would have told me, like, 5 years ago, hey, Apple's going to be, like, kind of dominating in the game market in a way, and Nintendo's going to be trying to play catch-up for a while, like, I would be like, you're crazy. That's just crazy talk right now. Like, you need to go to prison.
Well, and the scarier part is that it's Nintendo's not even trying to play catch-up. It's Sony that's actually...
Well, here's the thing, though, is I think Nintendo's kind of at a disadvantage of sorts, because they've always been just about gaming. Finally moved to the point where cell phones are finally valid gaming machines. So now my portable cell phone becomes an actual gaming machine, whereas before it's like, well, I don't want to play games on my cell phone. Those freaking suck. Like, I need to play good games on something that's meant for gaming. And now that you actually have things that are really meant for gaming, it bashes into Nintendo's problem, because it's like, now Nintendo has to make a device that will do all those things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to lose out on that, because no one's going to want, like, a cell phone from Nintendo. Like, they're going to... Unless they pull out something really ridiculous, it's... But the thing that Nintendo has over everyone is they make games.
Yeah,
you know?
It's their licenses.
Apple doesn't make games. And so it's a weird feeling of, like, they both have a very, very important quality going for them, and you kind of need both to make it work. And so I don't really see any one of them winning out, but it's going to be interesting to see the direction that both of them go.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo, the last thing they'll ever do, they'd have to be really desperate to do this, but is put their games on, like, an iPhone or something, on a different device.
Right.
And they're very against that, because, you know, if they can control the hardware and the software, that's all the better, you know? Yeah, but I do have to give, you know, Sony credit, because what they're... You know, as much as I hate what they've done with the hardware of the PSP Go and making it more expensive and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
What they're doing with the indie gaming scene is the right step for a huge, you know, gaming company to do. They want those iPhone games on the PSP, and they want to make it an easy process to get it on there and program for. And so, you know, they're doing the right thing. Whether they'll succeed or not, I don't know. But
hey, can we take a moment? It's not very often that we get to praise Sony. I think we should take a moment and look back at the wonderful thing that you just said.
Yeah, but I do have to give Sony credit. You know, they're doing the right thing. Sony is amazing.
All right, well, that's enough. Let's see. Let's do a little bit of Ricky remix. This segment, I mentioned a video game remix favorite of mine, who made it, and where you can download it. This week, it's a remix from Super Mario Bros. 2 on the NES called Super Buck Jazz by Estratosphere. Take a listen to a short sample. And if you'd like to find this for yourself, just head back to the page you grabbed this episode of 2P Start Live from, or the link is right there for those of you listening to our M4A version of the show. Well, having been such a long break, we've had two comics slip
through the cracks.
Our first comic was In Poor Taste, the unfortunate end for Lace as
poor
she was adapted
Lace.
Into a Doritos video game.
A Doritos and hoe.
She'd be Doritos' new mascot, you know?
And then
you'd have, like, people trying out for her part in real life. You know, like, who's going to be the new... You know, kind
it's
of
like
the
Tomb Raider
model. Yeah,
who's
the new Lace model? Like, all right, cover up her eyes, people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, see, I was really pleased that this really came out almost, you know, exactly how we discussed it on the last podcast.
Which you guys never heard, by the way. I would like to add, I cut all that out.
Well, that would be kind of like punishing the podcast listeners by making the joke less funny for them.
Spoiler alert.
Don't listen to the podcast anymore, guys.
Hey, would you like to do a play reading of this?
Sure.
Well, you have the first line.
Okay, hold on. You'll never believe this, Ray. Lace finally has her own video game.
Dude, are you serious? How on earth are you able to... Wait, something's odd here. What? Why are you drinking Dr. Pepper? What did you do? 1, 2, 3.
Flavor Vision! This is not your father's Pixel Vision game.
We forgot the...
Tons of cheesy dialogue.
Cool out at the... Cool out. I screwed it up. I almost said cool out at the chili ranch. Go ahead.
Tons of cheesy dialogue.
Chill out at the cool ranch.
Less gameplay equals more achievements.
The only thing we forgot was the Doritos Presents.
Yeah. The prestigious Doritos.
Now, Doritos Presents. Presents.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad.
Well, unfortunately, I had to actually eat chips for that, and I didn't have any Doritos, so I had Flamin' Hots, and now I have the hiccups. Oh, what I sacrificed for this show.
And I know people were complaining about the size of the bag of Doritos in your hand.
I looked at that, I'm like, yeah, that's one of those little tiny mini, like, 50-cent bags
from
a machine.
Yeah, something you get at a vending machine, you know? And someone's like, oh, it looks like it'll hold about 7 chips. Yeah, well, vending machines hold about 5 chips, so it's about right on, you know? One of the hidden jokes is that the very background you'll notice, they aren't pixels, they're Dorito chips. They're little triangles all connected. That's something to look
out for.
It was
nice to see the reception was very...
Yes, oh, definitely.
Very good. Everyone loved it, so That was...
Yeah, thank you guys. Thank you guys for praising us, even when we don't deserve it.
Well, because the previous week we had a Lace comic and people were kind of like, meh.
I think, you know, that was what helped, was that we just had a Lace comic.
Well, and plus, this had Tim and Ray in it, and people just love us in general, so...
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know.
We're terrible people.
I know, awful.
Did you see what I did to that baby seal last night?
Ugh, on YouTube, even? Come on, Ray.
Well, that was just the first part.
Okay.
That was... I didn't get to... You didn't see what I did to the parents.
Well, any more for that comic?
I think that should about do it, yeah. And then our most recent comic was Tim's take, Look Out.
Here's the funny part. You know, I tried to line up a guest strip with a couple different artists that I thought would fit kind of our style and our humor and all that. And it just didn't pan out because of time constraints or whatever. So I kind of knew by the weekend that I was going to have to do this myself.
Mm.
I thought of a couple ideas that really wouldn't require a lot of, like, artwork at all.
Ooh, tell me. I want to do one.
No, I'm going to save that in case you ever die on me or something. I can keep the site alive for a little while.
You can use reused artwork for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what you should do is just do a Pac-Man comic every week if I passed away.
Don't think that didn't cross my mind. You know, I thought of Pac-Man, Tetris, and then some other off-the-wall stuff. And
nice.
I had ideas out there, but it wasn't until you and I talked, and I think we kind of mentioned that project... Needle Mouse thing in our conversation. That was like Monday night,
which was great because I didn't even want to get into it. Like, I think I even said to you, like, I don't want to get into that right now.
Right.
But and I just kept going. Like,
yeah,
so
exactly.
We had a little leakage.
10 minutes later. Okay.
Barf, barf, barf.
So we'll get into this later, right?
Yes. And in the podcast, we'll get to this later.
Yes, we will. But it was kind of funny that conversation with you, that's what I'm going to do. The trailer had no graphics in it at all. All I have to do is recreate the text, do some different things. And so the comic, when I was done for the first time, was just the trailer part. I didn't want it to be just that because I felt like Tim and Ray had to be there to kind of set some stuff up and do a little something. So I got some artwork, and I figured out how to kind of reuse it and redo the text balloons and this sort of thing, which is interesting because it's almost like Mad Libs where I had a certain amount of space to write a sentence. And so, Ray, I had you saying all sorts of different things. In fact, the panel that I was playing with the most, I didn't even include, but it has you, like, really mad, kind of have a mad look on your face.
Right.
So I had, like, 8 versions of Ray saying stuff like, why do people keep sending me Project Needle Mouse comments? Or why?
It was amazing to me how many people, like, left comments, sent me Skype messages, IM messages, emails.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how many people were like, hey, Ray, did you hear about this? What do you think? And I'm like, people actually want to know my opinion. This is weird. Like,
we're
going to
get, like, Sega employees, like, saying, well, Ray, do we have your approval? Is this going
to be... I have no friends in real life who would ever come up to me and say, hey, Ray, what do you think of the Project Needle Mouse trailer?
That's true. But, yeah, so I was done with that, and I was like, you know what? Let me take a look at Tim's take. And to this point, I had not looked at the original Tim's take comic. And I think because I was still a little scarred from that experience, because when I looked at it, I'm like,
I didn't go back to look at it. Well, I can't look again.
Not only did I not go back to look at it this week, but I don't think I've looked at it, like, ever since we actually did it, like, 2.5 years ago. I really don't think I've gone back to read it. And so I went back to look at it. I'm like, this is so bad. This artwork is not art. I can't even call it artwork. What was I thinking? I was just so...
Well, now, I think we kind of purposefully wanted it to be bad looking.
Yeah.
I think part of you knew, like, this can look terrible and it'll be okay. Now,
but it's still so bad.
And even, I would say the joke itself isn't very funny to me.
It's not.
Okay, it was a terrible joke. I can say that out loud then.
Yeah, it's not.
It's just... It's weird because you have so many things working for you here.
Yeah,
I mean, you have a funny joke with the trailer stuff.
Yeah,
and then you have a really old time joke about it being Tim's take. You're using recycled artwork, and because it's kind of a bad comic, you get to throw in the Oh Brother. You get like a mixture of all these little jokes, and you did it really well. I was really impressed.
Oh, good. I wasn't real sure what you thought of it all, but I'm glad you approve.
I laughed. I mean, it was very funny, like, not being involved in it. It's very rare I get to see a comic, you know, that I didn't have some part
you, so
in.
You kind of got a taste of what I go through, even though I know what the joke is, but I don't see the artwork.
Yeah, it was funny because I was, like, skimming through it.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't stop myself from going quickly. I want to see it. Speed Return. Seriously, no Werehog this time. No Chip Black Doom. And then I start laughing. Like, it's not until the next panel I realized the last panel said no Werehog this time.
Right.
I'm like, this is funny. Oh, and we'll get to this more later on, which is foreshadowing.
But yeah, I did
foreshadowing.
I did at the last minute, like the comic was done. I was like, I really have to add this Tim Stake. Now that I see it, and people are kind of expecting, because people left comments like, "Oh, we're gonna get another Tim Stake? What's it gonna be?"
Right.
I'm like, I really have to redo that. And so I just changed the wording a little bit, because the first one had Ray being like, you know, Sewell and girlfriend and this and that. I'm like,
oh, funny.
I'm like, none of this is true anymore. So I just said sleep, spas, treatment, vacation.
Because you were not what I was doing.
I know. But you were like away, you know. So I'm like, I got a little dig in because Ray doesn't have any. At first, I had it saying like work. I'm like, no, let's not even go there. Let's just say sleep.
Let's not give him any credibility here. Well.
So I was glad that a lot of people were like, oh, you really had me there. And then I saw,
yeah, could you,
know,
you imagine if it was just those first three panels?
Oh, gosh. The outrage. I'd have people
what if
on
it was
my
like
doorstep.
One panel of Tim's take, and you say, like, lol, what?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, there's so many mean things I have always wanted to do with her comic that we should still do sometime. I still want to test our readers with a horrible comic. Like,
see if
weed
still
out the people, you know? Like, if you like this comic, just don't come back. You know what? Just stop right there.
I will IP ban people that say this is a funny comic, yes.
It's like when I was making student films at college.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, I'm like, I want to make the worst film ever. Like, because there's all these things in film that you don't want to do. It's like, how many of those things can I do in 5 minutes? You know, like, you know how much work that would take to get everything that bad in 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Like, it would almost be more difficult than doing it right.
Right.
And that kind of excited me. I still have that same sort of feeling from the comics sometimes.
Well, I was very pleased that this went over much better than the last Tim's Take. So I will be drawing the comic from now on based on Ray's previous artwork.
Drawing, yes. And by the way, you can credit me for this comic since I gave you the initial inspiration. If think about it, if I wouldn't have called you.
Well, I did give you credit because your signature is still on the bottom of the strip.
Which is terrible, by the way. That's really mean.
But it's you know what else is funny is I spent way more time on the recycled artwork, you know, like changing text, and I even made one the text one's bigger at one point because I really wanted a longer line, and so I had to change all the artwork behind it.
Oh yeah,
with my Photoshop skills.
It's the same sort of thing with me. Even though I'm using reused artwork at times, it's a lot of work to put it in place.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and that's what's so frustrating is like there's no it doesn't. People see it and it looks like there's no work involved, but it's like no, there was work, but forget it.
But that's a testament to your artwork actually being good because it took me time to redo it.
Oh,
when
well,
I redid
you.
The first three panels, it took me 15 seconds because it's like, it's four colors and, you know.
What I love is that arrow on the third panel, the 2D star. I love how it's, like, you extended it, but you, like, you couldn't keep it straight.
No, I know.
Oh, man, it's so great, Tim. You cracked me up.
Well, and the funny thing was, I actually drew this comic with, like, a Wacom tablet type of thing.
Oh, my God.
I had a tablet for, like, you know, a week. I think this comment made me sell it back to somebody. But I was like,
I just love the idea of you, like, well, I wanted to do more Tim's Take panels, but I was too busy selling my tablet because I sucked so bad at drawing with
yes.
it.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Nice work, Tim.
Yeah.
Great
you.
Job.
Thank you.
Well, for every great comment comes great comments. This week's suggestion box was no different. Since we had 2 weeks, I'll do two real quick. For the Doritos comic, it goes to VTN Wesley, who said, I suggest paying a smaller company like Toes or smaller to make the game as an Xbox indie game. You can have your game without selling out, maybe. Great comic, guys. This made me smile. To think that there are some netter butters who think the comic is going away, you clearly are still at the top of your game. Oof, very nice, VTN Wesley. Thank you very much. For the Tim's Take comic, it goes to Rob McKenna, who said, this is lacking its new comic shine, but a great comic nonetheless.
I got two also, but they're both artwork, and I just thought I'd point them out. The first goes to Devin, who made this funny picture of Tim as Wario Land Shake It. Thank you for providing this.
Yes, we always love getting artwork and stuff. It's very funny.
Especially, it's still a little surreal to see Tim and Ray in fan art kind of form, you know? Like, when May did that anime version of us of couple months ago.
Yeah, and,
like,
and even, you know what, let me look it up on Twitter real quick.
Twitter.
Yeah, I'm Luke Key made a little GIF animation.
Yeah, that was cool.
Did you see that?
Yeah, go ahead and throw that up there, too.
Yes. Oh, that was great. And it's just weird to see that suddenly appear. Like, someone spent time working on pictures of us, you know, and, like, getting the details of the TV in the background and whatnot. And they have a little bit of humor in there, too, which is always appreciated.
Yeah, we've had you know, I'm impressed with our fan base, and their artistic abilities is way beyond mine.
Yeah, very cool. Thanks, guys. What was the other picture?
The other picture was a comment from Supersonic Goku. I don't think he made this, but he certainly pointed it out. All we see in the Sonic trailer is kind of a silhouette of what looks like, obviously, the Sonic 1 title screen.
Correct.
And so he sent me this image of Pikachu in a sombrero, filling in that
is the
form.
Revealing, which is just friggin' hilarious, by the way.
It's great.
I mean, I can't...
It's awesome.
Because there is something strange about that silhouette that almost doesn't say it's Sonic. It almost says it's not Sonic.
And it does look just, like a hat, you know, but it's not.
Yeah, I mean, there's something weird about it that doesn't really work. It's like, that doesn't really look like Sonic in a way.
But you know what's funny is like, it's actually the exact... It's an exact silhouette of Sonic 1.
Really?
That was a joke that I really wanted to put in. Not Pikachu in a sombrero, I hadn't seen that yet. But something else, like,
right,
whether it was
yeah,
Shadow
like actually,
or like Chip. I
right.
thought Chip would be, like, hilarious. But I already said Chip wasn't in it. But
you can have it be Charmy.
Yeah, there you go.
Charmy in a sombrero. Hey, guys!
Yeah. And I
welcome to my new game!
It's a charmed life. But thank you for sharing that. That is pretty hilarious.
Yeah, thanks, guys. We always enjoy your comments. And speaking of people who comment, some wait quite a while to do just that. It's time to rise from your grave.
Rise from your grave.
Many Two-Piece Start fans tend to lurk behind the shadows, hiding their faces by continually reading our comics but never daring to leave a single comment.
How?
So when one finds the courage to break free from the shackles of silence, we salute you. Well, our first Grave Riser goes to Apkinesis, who said, I was planning to wait until podcast number 100 to rise from my
rise from grave.
But this comic was too awesome not to comment on. I enjoy most, if not all, of your comics, and while there were many that have made me grin, or maybe even snicker a bit, this was the first comic to actually make me laugh out loud, particularly at the tagline of the last panel and Tim's bonus panel with the pool of Doritos that you cannonballing into, which is hilarious. Anyhow, I've been following 2-Piece Start since comic number 112, have read all of your comics, and have almost finished listening to all of your podcasts, which in my opinion are even better than the already great comics. Keep up the awesome work, Tim and Ray. Well, thank you.
Thank you. I mean, 112, that's not bad, but I think I have that one beat here. Named Dynomite.
Dynomite.
Dynomite. Hey, I believe I have now risen from my grave.
Rise from your grave.
I've been watching from the shadows since Play, the comic titled Play. Let me just stop right there. That's our second comic ever. That's number two, where we have the PlayStation 3 playing Million Dollar Baby.
Number two.
First of all, how dare you? Really, how dare you? Second of all, that's impressive.
Wow, yeah.
That my comic is the one that rose him from his grave? I mean, wow.
Oh, man.
Maybe I should do this more often.
Thanks, Dynamite. Really appreciate that.
All the beautiful artwork. I mean, count how many hours you've spent on comics since comic number two. Thousands.
We actually added this up, and they're like, hey, figure out how much you make per hour, Ray, and then figure out how many hours per comic, and see how much you should have been paid. I'm like, $25,000, huh?
Yeah, you're not getting that money. So.
I know. It goes to your pool.
Well, he continues, I found it playing with the stumble button. Have loved it ever since. I love your comics and podcasts. Well, thank you, Dynomite.
And finally, our last Grave Riser goes to Damien, who said, oh, I was doing so well. See, I've been trying to hold out on rising from my grave, but I have one weakness. Your talk about programming PixelVision. As a lifelong programmer and pixel art enthusiast, I've been wanting to program PixelVision for ages, even if it just ends up being a little one-level tech demo, just to show your idea can come to fruition. I recall you saying you wouldn't want PixelVision programmed because it would make it final and concrete in an earlier podcast. If you ever change your mind or would like to see just one level working, let me know. Of course, due to my procrastinating nature, I can't make any guarantees, but I digress. I've been reading since comic 47, which isn't that impressive, but still. I absolutely adore the podcast, though. The Black Doom segment is the most awesome thing I have ever come across. And to think I managed to stay in my grave until now. Well, thank you, Damien. And I don't think we're really willing to take you up on your offer for programming Pixel Vision. I really don't want to make that game unless it's going to be right. But you know what, Damien? Because you love the Black Doom segment so much, up next is the dreaded Black Doom Award. Each week, Tim and I both mention a terrible choice made related to video games in honor of the most atrocious character Sonic Team has ever created, Black Doom.
Yes.
And my Black Doom Award's going to go to Sony.
Oh, I knew you'd have to bash on him, yeah.
Did you see the latest PlayStation Motion Control demo?
I saw there was one, but no, I have not seen it.
Oh, man. I have a lot of problems with this video, and maybe you can help clear up some confusion for me.
Sure.
Basically, the video was showing off some of the things that the new PlayStation Motion Controller can do. They're like, hey, you know what? We didn't get to show off all the features at E3. We'd like to show some of them to you now that we have no restrictions, right? And they show off some stuff, and, you know, it's alright, it's looking good, but it's still a tech demo. Like, it's still in its tech demo form. For something that should be, like, your next big thing, you know? Why you're so recklessly making, well, here's the latest progress on
this.
It's
almost like they're asking for, like, your approval, like,
yeah,
have we made good progress, or no? Should we go back to the drawing board? Like, you know,
and it's weird.
Figure it out,
yeah,
and then
show
us.
Yeah, it's like, this is your tech demo process. Like, you guys should be looking at this stuff, not
for
me.
For all the, you know, the fun we made of Project Natal and its possibilities in our comic, at least they showed a polished, finished, kind of looking
right.
product.
It,
maybe
yeah, like,
it won't look
couple,
exactly
here's a
like
couple
that.
Games that you can play.
Yeah,
you know?
Like they actually
the
made
wand,
Burnout.
With the wand, it's like, hey, look how it responds. See, this is cool, right? Yeah. All right, look, I can swing a baseball bat and kind of hit a ball in this 3D room. Yeah, oh, I missed. That's great. Can you make a game now? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, this is, like, at some points in the video, it's clear they stopped working on it as a tech demo, and they started to make, like, little mini games that would never be made into games ever. And they accomplished nothing, and it serves no purpose. So basically what they've got here is that you can use your wand to lay out a whole bunch of dominoes, and then you can knock them over. So this is where we're starting, and we're going to carry on from here.
So these dominoes we can just stack or lay out by drawing. The really neat thing that we didn't get to show at E3 for this demo was Anton actually added a whole other part to this demo, but we kind of ran out of time, and well, let's just show you. Here you go. So the dominoes can actually just rearrange themselves into these snakes. Right. Yeah, switch sides. So you can see these snakes are made out of the dominoes we laid out. So we can actually duck in and carve around. And the snakes actually, you have full control over the way they point and the way they duck. But abstract domino snakes, you know, maybe you want something a little bit more realistic, so we can switch it to these bone snakes. And then if you know how, you can actually turn on the fire of the snake. And tick, tick, tick.
Like, what the heck? Like,
fire. Fiery domino snakes.
They're like, oh, hey, look.
How many people got fired when they showed that to their boss?
Honestly.
Wait, you're working on what?
Honestly. I know. Fire breathing domino snakes. Like, could there be anything more ridiculous from Sony right now?
Oh,
get back on track, people. Well, I know a lot of people have been dying to know what my opinion of Project Needle Mouse is. And Tim, I'd like to pass that torch on to you right now, as I assume your Black Doom Award goes to
Sega. And what's interesting is I will admit that Project Needle Mouse is, by default, the most promising Sonic game we've seen in a while.
Yes.
And what they've said about it is promising news.
Yes.
But
of the 10 words that they said.
Yeah, of the 10... Yeah, 2D is all you needed to say, really, you know?
Yeah.
But,
I
but
think
that trailer was awful, okay?
And it's a terrible trailer.
Trailers
it
are
really
supposed
is.
To say something. I'm not saying literally say something, but they're supposed to kind of give an indication of what the game is supposed to be. And Sega's failings in the past was that they indicated that the game was going to be awesome, and the trailer was the best thing about them. That's the problem. You're misleading people by showing them awesome
right.
trailers with crappy games. Are you... You know, so what they're
yes.
telling me with this trailer is... We didn't put a lot of time into this. It's just going to be a game with Sonic in it, you know? But I really hope that's not true, but the trailer says that.
It's amazing how quickly people forget what we've been going through for how many years.
This cycle, yes.
Like, for me, especially having heard all the things that all those Sega representatives have been saying lately, you know, like, oh, we'll throw them a bone here and there, and, you know, really, we're just worried about pleasing the 12-year-old kids, you know, because it doesn't need to be an A ranking, it just needs to be satisfactory enough for little boys and girls.
That was 1 month ago, right?
That was 1 month ago, okay? And they released a trailer where, guess what? They're throwing us a bone, and everyone's like, oh my god, they're back, they're gonna do it! I'm like, people, can we be consistent with what's been going on lately? Unless that was the best PR move ever, where they're like, hey, you know what? Let's plot a bunch of baloney interviews that make it look like we don't care about Sonic and then come out with something that's amazing. Like, I just don't see that happening.
No.
Like, I see it much more consistently with what they've been talking about and what's going to come out. It's like, there's just nothing that I can grab onto that leaves me confident that this will be a good 2D Sonic game. It could be a terrible 2D Sonic game. All we know is that it's 2D, and it's... as Sonic. Like, I just can't stress enough how many times we've been through the freaking Sonic cycle, you know? This happens every single time, and frankly, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of wasting energy hoping for a good Sonic game. I'm not gonna believe it until I play it, is basically how it comes down. And even then, I might not play it because it'll just get such horrible reviews, I won't even bother.
Well, here's the thing. We tend to get excited, you know, when we either see a cinematic trailer for something, because it gets emotions going, or when some PR hack comes out and tells you what's going to happen. And the truth is, the PR guy doesn't even probably type on his own computer. He just dictates to somebody. Like, he doesn't. Mm-hmm. He's as far from programming that game as you are, sitting there reading a blog. Unless the programmers come out and get interviewed and tell you what's happening, don't believe it. And cinematic trailers, don't believe that either. I want to see not just a gameplay trailer of them playing it perfectly. I want to see someone who's never touched the game pick up and play through level one, and then I'll have a sense of what this game is like. Other than that, I'm not gonna get hyped about something.
I mean, part of me is almost shocked it took them this long to make this trailer. You know? I mean, really, the fact that they were able to make a Werehog just a year ago indicates to me they're still way off track. And the fact that it took them this long to make a trailer like this is quite shocking.
I mean, the only thing at this point that would give me much comfort is if we actually saw an announcement that they totally fired, like, all the designers and Sonic Team. You know, Team Sonic was totally a different group of people. Like, getting new talent in there to actually work on games... for real?
I don't know if it's so much the people design, because there's a lot of good stuff going on at Sonic Team, I will say. I mean, after having played at Sonic Unleashed on 360, there's a lot of really cool stuff in that game, especially how it looks. Like, visually, it's quite impressive,
but it's people that do the overall concept, you know?
Right. It's the people who are in charge of the project.
Yeah, I would need to see those people fired.
Right.
And then I'm like, okay, they're making some moves. But you know, typically the stuff doesn't turn around in a day. So, you know, I hope that this game is a step in the right direction. I don't expect it to be the best Sonic game since, you know, Sonic and Knuckles or something, you know?
They have a lot to prove before I get excited about anything at this point.
Yeah, well, let's hope they get there.
So, we'd like to close it up with Musical Misfits. Some great video game songs have been unintentionally ignored over time, and we play one in full after the show's over for those who are still interested. Our listeners get to trade off every other week with my suggestions, so this week's song was submitted by Badnik Hunter. It's the Egg Corridor theme from Cave Story. So, that will do it for this edition of 2B Start Live. Join us every Wednesday for a brand new comic, and every Monday for a brand new podcast, just like the one you heard here, except better. With that, he's Tim.
And he is Ray.
And we'll actually see you next week. We'll be right back.
You just listened to an episode of 2P Start Live with hosts Ray and Tim. You can call into the show with Skype by messaging Raybob Industries for more instructions. You can even follow us on Twitter at Ray2P and Tim2P. But if you simply enjoy the show, then don't be greedy by keeping it to yourself. Spread the word, and we'll do our best to keep things running.